Today's Shir's Masech Babam Tzvi, Daf Kuf Beis. We will begin Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Maska Bais L'Chaveroi, if somebody rents a home to someone else, Hamaska Chai B'Dalas, the landlord is the one that has to supply the door, Nagar is the lock, Nagar Mano, the lock and the bolt, B'chol Davashu, Shemai Suman, anything that takes a professional to do. Ava Dovash Enemai Suman, something that doesn't require a professional to do it, then the halacha is Hasoichai say the tenant does it. And the way the Rishonim explain, something that requires a professional to do is that it's something that is necessary for the house to have. And since it's necessary for the house to have it, so that's why the landlord has to provide it. Whereas something else is not necessary for the house to have, and therefore the tenant is the one that has to supply it. Demiri points out that everything that we're speaking about in this Mishnah is in a situation where the tenant did not see this apartment before he rented it, and he didn't make any stipulations. And that's when we have this halacha. What must the landlord supply? What must the tenant supply? But if the tenant, says the Miri, saw the apartment and he saw what shape it's in and he accepted it as it is, so then the landlord doesn't have to supply anything else. The Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says that even if the tenant saw that this apartment is missing these things and he rented it anyway, says the Ritva, the way to understand what this tenant meant to do was he meant that the landlord will put them in, and he can make that claim, and the landlord cannot say, well, you accepted it the way it is. So, as we just said, that the Mishnah seems to say that whatever needs a professional to do, that is done by the landlord, otherwise done by the tenant. However, the way the Rambam explains this halacha, the Rambam takes a different approach. The Rambam's approach to this halacha is an approach that it doesn't depend on, it depends on that what the Mishnah really means to be describing is what is absolutely necessary for this apartment and what is not necessary. Moreover, points out the Ritva, that everything we discussed, that the landlord supplies or that the tenant supplies, something that the tenant supplies, the halacha is that when he leaves, if it's something that could be taken along, let's say it's an appliance that the tenant has to supply, the halacha is that the tenant could take it when he leaves. Says the Mishnah, Hazevel, the waste, shebalabais, that the waste that the animals in the field, in the yard, express, belongs to the landlord. The Gemara will explain this halacha. The only zevel that the tenant is entitled to is what comes out of the furnace. If somebody rents a home to someone else, he has to make doors, windows, to make sure that the beams, the ceiling is strong, they won't collapse, to strengthen the beams wherever they are. The tenant has to make a ladder to be able to go up to the upper floor. To make the fence around the roof. To make the shutters, leaders for the water to roll off the roof. To put plaster on the roof. In this discussion that our Mishnah now has about the roof of the house and what is the obligation of the tenant and regarding the makah, so the Rishonim discuss this halacha. Some Rishonim explain that really the chiyuv of making the maka of making the fence around the roof is on the landlord. It's his house. It's Chazal that took that chiyuv away from the landlord and put it on the tenant to make sure that we have it. And to which the Rishonim now discuss, what does that mean? Does it mean that it was completely removed from the landlord and obligated to the tenant? Or does it mean that they both have it? And the Miches Chinuch in Mitzvah Tuf Kuf Tezvav discuss it. And the way he discusses it, that you have a landlord and a tenant, and they both want to have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah makkah. They both want to have the opportunity to make a gate around the roof. Who is the one that gets that? Do we say that the tenant is really now the one that's obligated, or does it mean it's only on top of him? Certainly, what is the halacha if somebody rented a home from a nachri? Must he make a fence? Again, if it's really a chiyuv on the landlord, then we could say it went from the landlord to the tenant. But if the landlord doesn't have a chiyuv, then the tenant wouldn't have a chiyuv either. Or do we say that there's a new chiyuv on the tenant? So the Miches Chinuch doesn't answer the question. The Maril Diskin seems to say that the primary obligation, he says, is on the landlord. The tenant's obligation is not so much because Chazal made an obligation on the tenant. There's two parts, the way the Maril Diskin explains this. There's one is the obligation to have a makkah around the roof. And the reason there's such an obligation is because the Torah says that you have a sisa makkah domim, that you have to make a fence around your roof. If that is the obligation, so then that obligation remains under all circumstances. If, however, the obligation is that's one obligation. The other obligation is like sosim dam b'secha. You have to make sure that there's nothing dangerous in your home. When we speak about the obligation of sosim dam b'secha, that is an obligation on the person who lives in the home, and therefore, even if the landlord is not Jewish, the halacha is that the tenant would have to make the makkah. The Gemara said that the soicher is the one that makes the chayv las l'suma, has to make the ladder. Says the Ritva, there are two reasons that they would make a ladder. One is a ladder to go up to the roof, and the other is to make a ladder to go up to the upper floor. So the Torah points out, when our Gemara just said that it is obligation of the tenant to make the ladder, the Gemara referred to the ladder that's going upstairs to the roof. But the ladder that's going up, if I rented the upper story, and the way to get up to that upper story is with a ladder, that certainly is the obligation of the landlord. So now says the Gemara, they ask Rav Sheshes, mezuzah me, who has the obligation to put up the mezuzah? Says the Gemara, mezuzah, what's the question? Hamra Mishansha, didn't Rav Mishansha say mezuzah chayv sadarhi, that the mezuzah is on the obligation on the person who lives there? And since it's on the obligation, because the halacha is that the Torah says beischa, and Chazal teach us that beischa means derech biascha. The mezuzah is put up the way you enter the home, so it's obvious that the person who lives in the home and he enters the home is the one that is obligated in putting up the mezuzah. Moreover, I saw the Rishonim say that the purpose of the mezuzah, and we'll speak about this more in a minute, is that the mezuzah serves as a shmira for those that are in the home, protects those in the home. So the person who's living there is the obligation to put up, has an obligation to put up the mezuzah. But it seems from here that, and that's the opinion of most Rishonim, that not only is it the obligation of the tenant to put up the mezuzah, but it's the chiv of having a mezuzah, even an apartment which is a rented apartment, not an apartment which you learn, which you own, is a chiv deraisa. I did see that there are rishonim that suggest that the chiv of a mezuzah in an apartment which you don't own is only the rabbonim. Amalur Rav Shesh to Nesua. So says Rav Shesh, so says the Gemara, the question is, makam mezuzah, ami, the place where you're going to make in the wall that you're going to put up the mezuzah, the question is, who has to construct that? Which the Gemara says, Amalur Rav Hur Rav Shesh. So Rav Shesh's response to Nesua. Haven't we learned the answer in our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says, Dovish e maisa umen, anything that doesn't involve a professional, anybody could do it. Is done by the tenant. Preparing a place for the mezuzah is not needed a professional, so certainly it's the obligation of the tenant, says the Gemara. Efshahu, because you can put up the mezuzah, but gufsa dekanya. And since that isn't the ma'isa umen, the halacha is that it's the obligation of the tenant. That, and the pshat in the Gemara is that, like, we put up a mezuzah. The mezuzah is put up straight on the doorway, for which there's no construction needed. Since the mezuzah is put up on the wall with no construction needed, the tenant should have this obligation. This Tosfos says that there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, how the mezuzah should be put up. Should the mezuzah be put up standing, or should it put it up flat? Tosfos says that our Mishnah seems to be proving, like Rashi, you just put up the mezuzah standing. If you had to put it into the wall, then it would require some construction. And that, Tosfos says, is the machloikis of Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Do you have to put it up, is the mezuzah put up standing, or the mezuzah put up flat? Rashi's position is that you put it up standing, and Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that you put it flat. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rashi that the mezuzah should be put up standing, vertically. The Torah and the Ramah say, because we have here the Machlokes Rashi and Tos Rabbeinu Tam, how does the mezuzah put up? Therefore, the minig is to put the mezuzah up slanty. So if we follow the opinion of Rashi, it's standing. And if we're following the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, since it was put on a slant, so it's somewhat flat, and that's why it would be adequate. From our Gemara, it seems that the mezuzah was put bekufsi dekanya. It was put in a mezuzah case, which is the halacha as we follow. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Gra that the mezuzah should not be rolled in a klaf, because if the mezuzah is going to be rolled in a klaf before you put it up, that's going to be a chatzitza. So many achronim ask, well, we don't roll the mezuzah in the klaf, but we put it into a mezuzah case. So why isn't the mezuzah case considered a chatzitza? So the Migdash Ma'at explains that the mezuzah case is considered an extension of the doorway. And since the mezuzah case is considered an extension of the doorway, so that's not considered a chatzitza. Whereas if you put the mezuzah in a klaf, that would be considered a chatzitza. And that's why I saw that there's some that have the minig that they should use specifically a wood case. Because a wood case, the wood is the same material from which the door is made, and therefore it's considered a legitimate extension of the door. There are others that say that the mezuzah case should be made out of lucite, because you should be able to see the mezuzah, particularly on the back of every mezuzah. The Shem Shakai is written Shin Dalad Yud, and by having the mezuzah clear in a lucite or glass, you could see that Shem Shakai. And then there are those that suggest that the mezuzah should be in a silver case. The reason a mezuzah should be in a silver case is because of hidda mitzvah. The mezuzah is being kept in that case, so it's a hidda mitzvah to put it into It's a hidden mitzvah to be put into that type of a case. Tanu Rabbanan says the Gemara, Maska Bais L'Chaveri, if somebody rents a home to somebody else, Ala Soich Lasis Mezuzah, it's the tenant's obligation to make the mezuzah. Kshiyotze, when the tenant leaves the home, Lo Yitlenu B'yad Demiyotze, he shouldn't take the mezuzah out of his home. So, of course, the question is, why should the mezuzah not be taken out of the home if I'm not living there? So Taisa says, because the mezuzah prevents mazikim from coming to the house. And by you removing the mezuzah, you're going to bring mazikim to the home. The Ritva says, because by putting a mezuzah on the door of your home, you're bringing the shechina to your home. And taking off the mezuzah means that you're removing the shechina from your home. Now, the question is, if you're allowed to take off the mezuzah for the purpose of putting it up somewhere else. So the Paiskim discussed this question quite extensively, and the opinion of most Paiskim is that if you're removing the mezuzah because you can't to put it up in another home where you don't have another home where you don't have the ability to have another mezuzah put up there, you can't get mezuzahs, then you're allowed to take it down. But otherwise, you should not take down the mezuzah because it could cause damage to the person, as we're going to learn, who leaves the home. However, the Ritva says, and the Beis Yosef quotes this opinion, and the Ramah quotes this opinion as well, if I'm leaving a home, I should not take the mezuzahs with me, but the person who is going to move into this apartment, the halacha is, should pay me for the mezuzahs that I'm removing. But let's say he doesn't want to pay me, it doesn't give me a right to take the mezuzahs. I have a right to demand payment, but I don't have a right to take the mezuzahs even though I'm not getting paid. There are those that are lenient and say that if I have mezuzahs, so if the tenant, there are a number of cases, if the new person who's moving into the apartment says, I want to bring my mezuzahs and you take your mezuzahs, that would be acceptable. If he doesn't want to do that, that's when I have to leave the mezuzahs. Also, if the home is owned by a non-Jew, and certainly if the next tenant is going to be a non-Jew, there's room to be lenient because, of course, we have to be concerned that the non-Jew is not obligated in the mezuzah and will not treat the mezuzah with the proper respect. Furthermore, what happens if I have expensive mezuzahs and I'm not supposed to leave the home without mezuzahs, but I don't want to leave my expensive mezuzahs for the next tenant, particularly for the next inhabitant in that apartment, particularly if he's not willing to pay. So the Paiskim say what one can do in such a circumstance is do a number of things. Take down his mezuzah, but don't just take it down. Take it down with the purpose, not just the purpose, to actually do it, to have them checked. We know that halacha is that mezuzah should be checked from time to time, twice every 7 years, to make sure that they're fine still. So take them down for that purpose. And or if the home is being painted, so then, of course, you're also allowed to remove the mezuzahs. And the mezuzahs that you should put up instead, not to leave the home without mezuzahs, could be less expensive mezuzahs. So again, says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, Hamask Bais L'Chaveroi, if somebody rents a home to someone else, Ala Soich Alasas L'Mezuzah, that's the tenant's obligation to put up the mezuzah, Ukush Yotze, when he moves, Lo Yitlenu B'Yad V'Yotze, he shouldn't just take it and move out, V'Menachri, but if the home belongs to Nachri, Noitle B'Yad V'Yotze, he should take it. There was a person where somebody took the mezuzah as he left. V'kava ishto yishtei banav. So ask the Gemara is assuming that this is going on, that this story that was just quoted is referring to a situation where the home was rented from a nachri. And the Gemara's question is, if the home was rented from a nachri, we just said you could take your mezuzah. So ask the Gemara, my solicitor, the story the Gemara is quoting is just the opposite of what we just learned. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes HaReisha, the story that was just quoted is referring to the Reisha, where the Reisha is that you're not allowed to take the mezuzah if the home is owned by a Jew, if Jews are coming. And the Gemara is telling us that if such is the case, if somebody does take it out, the repercussions were very serious. And therefore, the halacha is that a mezuzah should not be taken, and the mezuzah shouldn't even be taken, even in a case where the apartment is going to be rented to a Jew. Because as we said, you're causing the apartment to lose the kedusha, and you can't take that, you can't take the chrayis. Hazeva shebal habayis, we learned in the Mishnah that the zevel belongs to bal habayis. The only zevel that the tenant is entitled to is what comes out from the oven. Ask the Gemara. But what's in the chatzah belongs to the landlord. Ask the Gemara, and let's understand the Mishnah. If we're speaking about a chatzah that the tenant in the house writes in the chatzah, the Torah the soicher, and the animals that produce this fertilizer belong to the tenant. So the question is, Amaisha Balabais. Why should that zevel belong to the Balabais? Ella, it must be referring to a situation. The chotzer was not rented to the tenant. Veturei the masker. And the animals also belong to the landlord. So then ask the Gemara, on the other hand, Peshitta, it's obvious that it should be the responsibility. It should be the responsibility of the, it belonged to the landlord. Answers the Gemara Letzricha. The case of the Mishnah is b'chotzer the masker. The chotzer belongs to the landlord. The Torei the awesome almakomalei, and there were animals that wandered into this chotzer. And the Gemara is teaching, the Mishnah is teaching us that whatever fertilizer is deposited in that chotzer becomes the property of the landlord because it's his, because of the concept of kinyan chotzer, which we've learned, kinyan chatz is a way to take ownership. And says the Gemara, it turns out that our Mishnah is Messiah le Rabbi Yosef Chanina. It supports what Rabbi Yosef Chanina taught us. There Rabbi Yosef Chanina, chatzer shel adam kainu lo yishleim adatei. A person takes ownership of his chatzer, even if he doesn't know that something was deposited in his chatzer. The halacha is that it automatically becomes his. That, and here we're going to have to explain that it's a chotzer, a mishtameris, that's being properly watched. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Im amru komitzi shiyavala toichai. If somebody said that any mitzia that's going to come into my property today, tikn lichatzera, my chatzera should take possession of it, le'am aklum, because it's not enough, the Gemara is assuming, that it's in your chotzer. What you also need to have is that you should know that it's in your chotzer. V'misal hadam, but ask the Gemara, V'misal hadam, Rabbi Yosef b'chanina. The chatzer shaladim kana loyim shalem edatai. Anything that's in your chotzer becomes yours. So why is your knowledge required? Amai loyim aklom, why is such a declaration ineffective? Answers the Gemara, Amai skinin. We're speaking here about a case, b'chotzer she'enem shtameris. It's a chotzer that's not watched, and there the chotzer doesn't make a kinyan. Ask the Gemara, imhachi, if that's the way we're going to explain that braisa, continues the Gemara, Eima Seifa, let's continue learning that braisa. Yotzer lo shem b'tzia be'ir. If there's people know that he has a mitzia in his property, then dvarv kayomim, then what he said is a good kinyan. If we're speaking about a case, ask the Gemara, as we just said, of a chotzer she'enem shtameris, ki yatzal Hashem metziah be'ir. Even if everybody knows that there's a metziah in your chatzar, might have it. Why should that make a difference? You need to know that it's there. Answers the Gemara, ki even the yatzal Hashem metziah be'ir. Since it's well known that this metziah is in your chatzar, mivdil badili in shemineh, people stay away from that object. They say it certainly belongs to the person who owns the chatzar, and therefore v'havalei, the halacha treats it like a chatzar mishtameres. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, zevel ayotzim etanim in the karayim, the zevel that came out of the furnace, the hakoilet min avir, was something that is below the animal. But if you put some sort of a vessel, some sort of receptacle to catch the zevel as it comes out of the animal, hareu shaloi, it belongs to the tenant. But the zevel that's found in the refetz in the chatzar, shabal abayis, it belongs to the landlord. But ask the Gemara, the misal had Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina, if Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina asked the Gemara, is correct. Dama, Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina is teaching us, the chatzer shalodim kayon lo shalom medatai, anything that's in my chatzar becomes mine. So ask the Gemara, why a koilet man aver amei re shaloi? Why, if something that the person catches before it lands on the floor, does it become his? Avir chatzeruhu, it's part of my chatzar. And says the Gemara, Amabaya, it's talking about a case, mad bekeli b'shulei apara. He put a keli under the cow. Since he put the keli under the cow, so that will prevent that it'll never come to the avir chatzar. And that's why the person who put the keli there becomes the owner of it. Rav Amar, and Rava says that even if you didn't put the keli right under the cow, still, since you have a keli there, when is the halacha that anything that's in the Ava Chotzer becomes the property of the Bala Chotzer when it's ultimately going to land in the Chotzer? But in a situation of Avish ain't Seifel Lanuach, because my keli is there, so it's never going to land on the floor of the chatzar, such a case is lav kamanach domei. Says the Gemara, umi pshitele l'rova, is that obvious to Rava, that something that's over avir chatzar, that's not going to land at the chatzar, doesn't become the property of the chatzar, v'mebayle bayle. Ask the Gemara, actually that was a question that Rava posed. The bay Rava, Zorak aniki bepesach zeh, v'yotzu bepesach zeh. If somebody on Shabbos threw his wallet from one chatzar, from one home to another home, and it flew over the chatzar, mahu, what is going to be the halacha? Do we say avishen soyach v'lenuach? Even though this wallet is not ultimately going to land in the chatzar, the halacha still views it ke munach dami, as if it landed in the chatzar, olav ke munach dami. Because the way the Dvar Avram explains the Gemara is the question is what creates the kinyan chatzar? Is it the karka of the chatzar that creates the kinyan? Or is it the avri of the chatzar that creates the kinyan? Answers the Gemara, it's not the same. Hasam le-mishuk-le-midi. There's nothing between what's flying over the chatzar and the floor of the chatzar. Hacha, but the case that we've been discussing is a case where the halacha, where mifsakeli, there's something that prevents the zevel to hit the floor of the chatzar. And since there's something that prevents that from hitting the floor of the chatzar, that's why it's a completely different situation. We learned Shabarefesh b'chatzar, any zevel that's in the refes in the chatzar, harel shabal abayis. Ask the Gemara, Tarti, why was it necessary that to teach us both the halacha of the zevel and the refes and the chatzar? As Rashi explains the Gemara's question, both situations are situations where the landlord, this wasn't property that was rented. And since it wasn't property that was rented, so obviously it belongs to the landlord. So why was it necessary to say both both halachas. Tosfos explains that the Gemara's question is that it should have been enough to say that the zevel of the chotzer belongs to the masker, the zevel of the chotzer belongs to the landlord, and it wouldn't be necessary to tell us that that is the halacha in the refes. And because Tosfos explains, if in the chotzer, where the tenant has a right to walk, the halacha is that that doesn't give him ownership on the zevel, so certainly in a place where he doesn't have a right to walk, it should give him the, it should not give him rights to it. Why was it necessary to say both? Says the Gemara, Tarti, asked him why was it necessary to say both halachas? Refes, if there's a barn in the chotzer, harei shebal habayis. So it's not two cases, it's really one case alone. Amar of Ashi, Zois Ameris, by learning this price that we learn, Hamaska chaser stam, if somebody rented his chotzer, lahiska refes shebal, the refes is not included in the rental agreement. Meisvei asked the Gemara, so we've been learning that our Mishnah is based, the halacha in our Mishnah is based on what Rabbi Yossi Bechanina taught us, the chatzera shel adam kanei lo shloi medatei. Says the Gemara, we know that the Torah Kedoshah teaches us the mitzvah of shluch hakan. Torah Kedoshah says, ki korei kantzipa lefenecha bederech, lesikach heim al abonim, shaleich to shaleich as aim, v'sabonim tikach loch. The Torah says that as long as the mother is over the eggs, hovering there, you have to chase away the mother first and then take the children. This halacha, there are a number of details regarding this halacha. The Mishnah Masechta Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Chesom Abeis, teaches us that this halacha only applies by kosher birds, and also it was, as the Pasuk says, Ki Korei. You just happen to find it. You can't set it up. So it says the Brisa regarding the mitzvah shluch hakein. Yoni shevach v'yoni aliyah, different types of nest, chayevim b'shluach. There's a chiyev of shluch hakein, v'asuris b'gezel, and other people may not take those nests, and they daki shalom. But ask the Gemara, im isa l'ha, dom Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. If what Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina taught us is correct, that the halach is chatzer shel adam, koinoloi, afilu shloi medatoi, anything that's my chotzer automatically becomes mine. So ask the Gemara Krikan, why is this not a violation of what the Torah says ki kare prat lemezumin? It has to be something that just happened, that but not that it's in my property. Here, anything that's in my property is mezumin. Answers the Gemara. Amarava beitza b'tzias ruba hu deschayvla. The mitzvah of shluch hakein comes when most of the egg emerged from the mother's body. Or miknin lekanya, but ownership of those eggs only come ad enough lechatzera actually fall into my chatzer. V'chi tarish chayos v'shluach. So when we speak about the mitzvah of shluch hakein, it's only before mikam the tipul chatzer, before it falls into my chatzer. Ask the Gemara. If that's the case, that I did not take ownership of the eggs, because they haven't yet landed in my chotzer, so ask the Gemara, so why was it said over here that a surus mishum gezel? What is the iser gezel if I didn't take ownership of it yet? And says the Gemara, I iman. When the Brisa said that there's an iser gezel, it's talking about the mother, which is already in my chatzar. And since the mother is already in my chatzar, that's why if somebody were to take it, he would be doing gezel. V'boyseima, another teretz, loylam abeitze. It is talking about the eggs. I would just said that the eggs have not landed. Says the Gemara, with enough groove, once most of the eggs have emerged from the mother, that elevay, it's enough to make it mine, that if you take it away, it'll be a violation of Daki Shalom. Says the Gemara, Hashdam Rabbi Huda Amarav, Asa Liskas Bebeitzim, Kozman She'em, Rotzis Aleim. Nobody could make a kinyan on the eggs until on the beitzim, as long as the mother is hovering over them. First send away the mother. And only after you have sent away the mother, then there's the halach of hadas bottom tikach lach. I feel time enough like at seiri. Even if the eggs have landed in my chotzer, when does my chotzer make that whatever is in my chotzer becomes mine? Kol hoicha de'i matzis achilei, where I could have taken ownership. So the halach is chotzer is achilei, my chotzer creates that for me. But here, I couldn't have taken the eggs, because we just said that we can't take the eggs, we can't take ownership of the eggs until the mother is chased away. So if he can't take ownership, then chatzer nami lezachle. Says the Gemara, so now let's understand this brisa again. The brisa says that you're not allowed to touch it because Darkei Shalom. Let's understand. If the mother was already sent away, gezamaliyahu, at that point, the eggs become the property of the balachotzer. And if you will take those eggs, you're a full-fledged gazlan. V'idaloy sholcha, and if the mother has not yet been chased away, by shlucha, it has to be sent away. And until it's sent away, then it's not yours. So where's the gazel? Answers the Gemara, the brisa that spoke about Darkei Shalom is speaking about cotton, where cotton's taking the beim, so the labash luchu. What prevents anybody from taking the eggs? Because you first have to send away the mother. The mother, the cotton, has no obligation to send it away. Ask the Gemara, but we're still saying that you shouldn't take them when they Darkei Shalom. But ask the Gemara, cotton, Darkei Shalom, who? Is that a concept that we could apply to ketanim? Says the Gemara, hachikomer. Oviv shel cotton, the father of this cotton, chayv lahachzer, like he should give back to the owner of the chotzer, the beitzim, because of the halacha of Darkei Shalom. The Medrash says regarding the mitzvah shluch hakein, im kayam to mitzvah zu, if you fulfill the mitzvah of shluch hakein, atamama lova melech mashiach, you are the one that will cause mashiach to come. Dov acher, if you fill the mitzvah shluch hakein, at mamas aliyah anavi, shekasa by shluach, shenemar hine anochi shleich lachem es aliyah anavi, v'yehovah v'yenachem eschem. So we see that the word shluach is connected to Mashiach, connected to aliyah anavi, and therefore b'schus in the merit that somebody fulfills the mitzvah shluch hakein, Mashiach aliyah anavi will come. So the question is that what is the connection between the mitzvah shluch hakein and the mitzvah and Mashiach. So the Satmar Rebbe explains that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, teaches us that one of the things that regarding Mashiach, Gimel, the three things born by Esach Das, they just will happen without us being prepared. Mashiach is one of them. And we just finished learning the Gemara, says the Satmar Rebbe, that when we speak about shluch hakein, prat lemazuman, that it has to be something that you didn't prepare. So that's why Mashiach is so connected to the mitzvah shluch hakein. They both represent something that happens with hesach hadas. Another pshat that I saw is that when the mother is chased away from the eggs, the mother begins to cry. And the lesson here is that what will cause the Mashiach should come b'mheira b'yameinu, what will cause the Mashiach should come b'mheira b'yameinu is when we cry. When Klal Yisrael will daven and cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to our tefillahs and bring Mashiach b'mheira b'yameinu. Says the Mishnah, somebody rented a home to someone else for a year. And now, this year was, now they determined to make the year into a leap year. So now, the question is, of course, do you pay by the month or do you pay by the year? Somebody rented a home to somebody else for a year. And this Abra Shana, they made a leap year, a year with 13 months. Says the Mishnah Sarba L'Soicha, the tenant gets the benefit that he only has to pay for 12 for the year, even though he's going to get 13 months of residence. So the Rashbah says that this halacha wasn't said if in a case that it was said L'shana Zu, L'shana Ploinus. If he said that, then the halacha is for sure that you don't have to pay for the extra month. The question here is that it was said L'shana, and we don't know when. How do we make the calculation? On a monthly basis or on a annual basis? Heskaloi, if, says the Mishnah, if it was rented L'chadoshim, that the rent is determined on a monthly basis, the Sabra Shana, and then they made the year into the leap year, the Sabra L'masker is to the benefit of the landlord. Says the Mishnah, Ma'isa b'tzipari ba'adam echad shesochem merchas m'chaveroi. There was a story that took place in Tzipari where somebody rented a merchats, b'shneim osu zov l'shana. The rate was determined at 12 zov for the year, din zov l'chodesh, a dinner per month. And the question is, now that they made it into leap year, who does he have to pay for 13 months or for 12 months? Says the Gemara, Bo ma'is l'fnei Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, l'fnei Reb Yosi v'amru, that yachloiku, that the halacha is that they should divide the 13th month. So there's a few ways of looking at this psak of yachloiku. Some Rishonim explain, as we've learned a number of times in this Masechta, that it's that this Mishnah, this halacha that we just learned, is following the opinion of Sumchas. That the opinion of Sumchas is that Maman Amutu B'Sofik, whenever we have a question, do I or don't I owe you money, Maman Amutu B'Sofik Cholkim. And that's why here too, since we're not certain what to do, Cholkim. But there's a very important Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that even though whenever we have this discussion, or typically when we have this discussion, it's a machloikus of Sumchus and the Rabbanim. And Sumchus' opinion is that Maman Amutu B'Sofik Cholkin, and the Rabbanim's opinion is Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olav Araya. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger that in certain circumstances, even the Rabbanim agree with the psak of Sumchus. And in certain cases, Chazal saw that what the right thing to do is Yachloikul. And therefore, this is one of those situations where even the Rabbanim will hold that what should be done here is Yachloikul. But ask the Gemara, my solicitor. The Gemara is asking a question that the Mishnah first tells us a halacha, and then the Mishnah tells us a story. Normally, when the Mishnah tells us a story, the purpose of the story is to support and bring a proof to the halacha that was stated early in the Mishnah. Here, the Mishnah first said that in certain circumstances, the tenant gets the benefit. And in certain circumstances, the landlord gets the benefit. And then the Mishnah says, what we do is yachloiku. How do we understand the flow of the Mishnah? Answers, the Gemara Chasur Mechzer V'Hachiktani. Im Amalav Shnei Masu Zuhuvim L'Shana B'din Azav L'Chaydish, where he said a statement that has both in it. It speaks about the annual payment and the monthly payment. There halacha be yachloiku, because we don't know what to do. To which the Mishnah added, and we didn't know what to do. Divide that money. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, had I been the dying to decide what should be done here, have given the kulei lemasker, I would have given the entire rent to the landlord. Why? My kamashmon tfois lashonri achron. What it means is that if somebody makes two statements, and the two statements are not consistent, which is the statement that we follow? The second statement. So since here, the second part of my statement was din azov l'chodesh, that we're paying on a monthly basis, that's why Rav says the landlord prevails. But as the Gemara, Hamar Rav Chadazim, the Rav already taught us this halacha. Damar Rav Hunam Abay Rav. Somebody bought something for an istara. An istara has in it 96 prutas. Ma has 100 prutas. So if somebody said, you're going to pay istara me mana. So the question is, do you pay 96 or 100? So he says, if the 100 was mentioned second, so you pay me money. If on the other way, it was declared, me ma istara, so then you'll pay istara, which is only 96. So we see we always follow the second part of your statement. Answers the Gemara. That statement and this statement are really not the same. Ima hasam, have min prush kama farish. It's really one statement, and we can't divide it into two. Kamash malon, it's only explaining, the second part is explaining the first part. Kamash malon, the Rav says we follow the same statement. Says the Gemara Shmuel Amar, but Shmuel has a different way of understanding the Mishnah and the story of what happened in the Mesa Mirchatz of Tzipori. But Bob Emtsa Chodesh Eskinan, we're speaking about where half the month already passed, half the 30 month passed. And the question now is, what is the halacha? Ava Bob Tchilas Chodesh. So now that's when the landlord approaches the tenant. And that's when we say Yachloiku. Ava Baba Tchilas Chodesh. If the landlord approached the tenant at the beginning of the month, then the halacha is Kula Lamaskar, that the landlord has to pay the entire, the tenant has to pay the entire rent. Baba Saif Chodesh. On the other hand, if he comes if the landlord approaches the tenant at the end of the 30th month, then the halacha is Kula Lasaychar, the tenant prevails, because the halacha is Hamayis Mechaveira Ala Raya. Ask the Gemara. That means Shmuel is following the position that really belongs to the landlord, unless there's a Hamayis Mechaveira Ala Raya. Ask the Gemara, why doesn't Shmuel agree with Rav? Me, I'm a Shmuel. Did Shmuel not teach us? Lo'amirin tfois loshen achron. Rav Shmuel da'amir tevayu. Kor b'shloishim ani moichalach. If somebody says that I'm selling you a car which is 30 saw, so the halacha is we know that to take ownership, you have to make a kinyan. So the halacha is that if you express that you're selling 13 saw, yachalach s'vafil b'sachroni. Each saw has to have its own meshicha. But if you say kar b'shloishim saw b'sel ani moichalach, and this you spoke about the whole car as one, Risha, that every car you pick up is separate and becomes yours, each one. Hasan Tamimai, Mishim the Tvice. We look at what was the second statement you made. Hachanami Katafis. Rav Nachman Amar, says Rav Nachman, that in the case of that we're discussing, certainly the tenant has to pay the landlord, because Karka Becheskes Balei Kayemis. It's the property of the landlord, and I can't live in the property unless I satisfy the landlord. Says the Gemara, my kamashmon, what's the chiddush? Tvois lashon rachman, that we follow the second part of your statement. Says the Gemara, Haina the Rav, isn't that what Rav's been teaching us? Says the Gemara, no. What Rav Nachman is teaching us is, afgav da apach meikbech. It doesn't make a difference what was the first part of your statement, what was the second part of your statement. If he holds that in all cases, the landlord has the upper hand because the property belongs to him.